This episode of the podcast is brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Visit firstrow.ca and use the promo code FNP at checkout for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu, the best mouthguard that's out there on the market. Visit sisuguard.com and use the promo code FNP10 to save 10% on your order today. Monday, May 7th. Welcome to Fight Night Picks, Episode 8. So Fight Night Picks Podcast, Episode number 8. This weekend we had quite a few different cards out there. There was no UFC, there was no Bellator, but there's still quite a bit that could have caught your attention. You definitely had to look for some of the fights, but they were definitely out there. You had ACB 86, you had the Triple G fight, the Belyuhei 2, among other cards, and we'll break those down and analyze them and go over the picks that were made. And as well, we're going to focus on the fights that are coming up this weekend. So you've got UFC 224, you got Bellator 199, M1's got a card, there's some good boxing fights out there as well, so we'll focus on those. As well, this is going to be the first episode where we've got our a taped interview. So interviewed Curtis Howson yesterday at First Row Collectibles, so you get to hear a bit of what we had to talk about later on in the show. So like I said, fights from this past weekend. If you listen in on Friday, episode 7, I made my predictions. Went 11 for 14 on those, so not too shabby. I think the best card overall from this weekend was ACB 86 coming from Russia. It was a really good card. I watched start to finish, and I even made a friend a believer of ACB, which, you know, he's a pretty stubborn guy, so I was pretty surprised that I was able to convert him. But overall, really good card. They put on... It's really entertaining. We kind of compared it. It's a little bit better of an intro when the fighters walk in than Bellator, in my opinion anyway. You know, they had the three video boards. It switches from Russian to English. You get to see the stats and different metrics on the fighters. They get a chance to have a bit of a walk-in. In Bellator, it kind of reminds me of like a WWE wrestling-type promo where they walk in, they have a video in the background, but it's kind of cheesy, and it's a short runway. Like, I mean, in WWE, they get a chance to walk in, they have pyrotechnics, whatnot, but in Bellator, it's pretty straightforward. The guy or gal walks to the cage. They've definitely encountered a referee or an official behind closed doors, and they've checked, you know, gloves and they got the Vaseline for the most part on their faces. They're ready to go, so they just kind of walk into the cage and do their thing. But in ACB, it's kind of a mix between UFC and WWE. There's more of a walk-in. It's a little more pronounced, and to me, it's more entertaining. And I know ACB's big push, and I saw it on their website here today. You know, they want more fights. It's quality and quantity mix. So what they're able to do really well, if you've never seen one of their events, between the fights, you're watching them. They're free. They actually had them free and live on their Facebook page for the most part. So that's how I watched them, just cast at the TV. And yeah, between fights, like the fight would get over, they'd pan out. You could see that in the arena they were showing an ad, and it was all in Russian, of course, that portion. You know, you've got your commentators in English. Frank Mir's your color guy. And then, so they're showing the ad. You're back out. You can see Jeff Houston, the ring announcer, in the ring already as soon as that fight ends. And then, you know, a minute, 45 seconds after the fight's over, they start another one or they get the intros going. So really able to keep fans' attention. I know sometimes with, you know, UFC, they'll cut promos, they'll show promos, and they'll kind of take their time, or, you know, excuse me, if the televised broadcast get done early, they're good about it. But if there's 20 minutes, 15 minutes before the pay-per-view starts or before the main event starts, they'll cut to the UFC on Fox panel. They'll throw some different things in there. And in Bellator's case, what they'll do if it's the main event and like in their last event, 198, you had a lot of quick first round finishes, they'll resort to showing a fight from the undercard that the fans probably didn't go that extra step to go to the website to have a look at it. So what ACB does is the show keeps rolling, and undercard, main card, whatever, it just keeps moving. So they keep a really good pace. You know, pace of play is a big deal in a lot of sports. And with the newer new age fans that we have. You got to keep their attention, keep it moving. And ACB seems to do that really well. You know, MLB could kind of take a page out of their book, so to speak. So even on the undercard, there are a lot of good finishes. You had some notable names, actually. Georgie Karankanya, he dominated, a much bigger fighter than him. Alexei Popelnikov, a really good fight. Karankanya, he's fought some big names and quite a record to show for it. So even the announcers were pretty surprised that he was fighting. But put on a good show. It was kind of neat. He did the old wrist lock behind the back, and they said that it was reminiscent of Khabib, which it was. Really good ground game for sure. So good undercard, and it set up a really good main card where you had three title fights. So my up-and-comer from last week was actually Batraz Ignayev in the first title fight. He was 4-0. A lot of finishes, and in his previous fight, he beat Thiago Silva, who used to be in the UFC. Ended up winning their light heavyweight title in ACB. So he's taken on Dovlatsan Yagchimuradov, who was 15-5-1, and it ended up second round rear naked win by Yagchimuradov. So I was pretty high on the Batraz train, still there. Definitely with a few rebound wins, he'll be right back up in title contention, as their light heavyweight division is pretty thin, as are most organizations. But later on in the episode, we're going to talk about one organization that actually has a pretty strong light heavyweight division, and they've been pushing out a lot of good fighters. They actually have one of their fighters fighting in the upcoming PFL championship, so something to keep your eye out on, and I'll be talking a little bit about that later on. Co-main on ECB 86, you had future UFC title challenger Askar Askarov. I was singing his praises last week. Definitely a guy to have a look at. Where he's most likely coming into the UFC after this fight. It was the last fight on his ACB contract, and I was told that there was already a contract in place with UFC when he won. So, I mean, he's 10-0 now. He ended up, he dominated the entire fight, ended up getting a submission win. And, I mean, he's got great movement on the feet, really good submissions as well, like I said, and he's got power and he's quick. So, without getting too far ahead of myself, you know, Horiguchi in Ryzen 10, people are kind of wondering why the UFC didn't want him anymore. I mean, he lost to Demetrius Johnson by armbar, and it was a pretty spectacular submission in the fifth round of that fight, but he's been on a now 9-fight win streak, so you've got a lot of exciting flyweights out there in other organizations, and it'd be interesting to see what the UFC does. You know, they don't seem to push the flyweight division too much, but there's a lot of excitement out there. Ryzen had a main card featuring a flyweight bout, so you never know. But Askar Askarov, for sure, definitely keep an eye on him. And in the main event, really feel-good story. You had title holder Murat Belaev. He was 8-0, taking on Yusuf Ryzov. They had fought before. Belaev was able to get the decision win. I took Ryzov to win the fight. Just simply, you know, he's looked a lot better. He's still very young, but he's starting to look quite a bit sharper, and his submission skills are getting better and better. And Belaev, not a knock on his age whatsoever. Like, he spent 10 full years in prison, and his first professional fight was in 2014, and he's 8-1 now. So Ryzov was able to get the job done, won by first round rear naked. Dominated that, I think it was a minute and 48 seconds, so dominated the action, and his wrestling looked really good against a wrestler. So have an eye on Ryzov and Askar Askarov. You never know, could be in the UFC coming up. So on Friday night, we had LFA 39 from Vail, Colorado. You had an interim middleweight title fight between Ian Heinisch and Gabriel Checo. I said take Heinisch. You know, Checo hadn't fought in a couple of years, but he had strong submission skills, and Heinisch won by first round knockout. So he's another guy. I've seen his name thrown around. Will the UFC sign him? You see a lot of these guys in different leagues. I know most people classify LFA as a bit of a feeder league, and more of a regional thing, but a lot of these competitors, you know, they do end up making it to a Bellator or UFC, and they're able to bring their talents to a bigger stage. So have an eye on Heinisch for sure. He's 10-1 now, and first round knockout win, and it was a knockout. Also on that card, I don't know, it was all over the internet. If you'd seen, there's a bit of highlight reel, broken arm, Jerome Rivera. So he and his dance partner were kind of tangled up in the middle of the ring. fella pushed him up against the cage, and you could kind of see his arm pop, and he actually dislocated his elbow. And I mean, I can attest to what happened next, because I had my arm broken in a hockey game, got hit at center ice, and threw my glove off in pain. I went over to the penalty box and slapped my hand against the glass, and nobody had any idea what was going on, and the referee didn't seem to want to end the play. And in this fight, you know, he waved that he was hurt. He gave his back, like turned his back, and he was holding his elbow. And he got head kicked pretty hard and dropped. And then finally the ref ran in and stopped it. So pretty gruesome injury for poor Jerome Rivera. And that kind of capped up, you know, LFA 39. So on Friday as well, he had a pretty stacked Invicta FC 29 from Kansas City. I went 2 for 3 with my picks here. I had taken Sarah Kaufman to beat Katharina Lanner. She got the win. I took Pani Kanzad to beat Bianca DeMoni. And then I was really surprised. Pearl Gonzalez was actually able to get the win over Barbara Accioli. You know, Accioli was the bigger fighter. I think she had 4 inches of height, and she also missed weight. And, you know, at the time she was 4-2. Gonzalez going into this fight at 7-3. And she was coming off a couple of losses, and so was Accioli, but Gonzalez was coming off a couple of losses in the UFC. But this is kind of the perfect storm for her. You know, she didn't lose her composure, and you never know what could be next. You know, build your way up in Invicta again, and maybe you'll get another UFC shot. Maybe you don't want the UFC shot again. I mean, it is a lot of pressure, but Pearl Gonzalez looked really good in her fight, so keep an eye out for her. On Sunday morning, it was early morning. We had Ryzen 10 from Fukuoka, Japan, and that was early morning for us in the Atlantic time zone. So your main event was Ian McCall taking on Kyoji Horiguchi. I sang Horiguchi's praises. I said, pick him to win. You know, poor Ian McCall, nothing seems to go his way. He slipped into a right, left his head all the way up, and Horiguchi was able to counter and knock him out, and the fight was over quick. So a lot of people singing Horiguchi's praises in the last few days online and wondering if he'll end up back in the UFC, so who knows. But definitely a shame that they really let him go. I think he was on like a 3-fight win streak in the UFC when he left, so pretty surprising there. I'd say gruesome. It's pretty surprising. Head kick win for Darren Cruikshank, former UFC vet, taking on Koshi Matsumoto. It was awesome. If you didn't get a chance, he slept him. Matsumoto was on the mat at the end of that. But overall, Ryzen, a good card. I saw the ratings. They weren't terribly great. And I think the test of time and the big test for Ryzen is if they end up having a New York City card, and what their ratings will be from that. Now, they've had a few cards where they've done an event over a couple days, and from what I've read, that might be what they do in New York. So have a look for Ryzen in the States in the near future. I also mentioned last weekend a couple of oddball fights. John Gotti was fighting, and he ended up getting a win. And Alexander Emelianenko taking on Gabriel Gonzaga from Russia. It was a neat fight. I watched the replay of it. Gonzaga, his ground game looked good. You know, he looked like the submissions were there. And I thought that he won the first round. And then in the second round, Emelianenko came out just swinging, fist flying, and backed up Gonzaga, backed him up against the cage, and had him rocked. And then he landed a knee that dropped him and got the TKO win. So, yeah, good for him. And then another kind of interesting fight of note. The New York Badass, Phil Baroni, had a fight in California. And I saw that after the fight, some fans were yelling at him, throwing water bottles at him. So New York Badass, Phil Baroni, still fighting. And my just bleed UFC-type moment would definitely be Phil Baroni taking on Dave Mene, that wicked knockout in the first, like, 20 seconds where he just fist flying, backs him up against the cage. And says that he's the best in the world. So now he's getting water bottles thrown at him. But good for Phil Baroni on the win. Saturday night, we had the Triple G, Mark Trezane fight. I had said definitely take Triple G in the fight. You know, he had nothing to gain and everything to lose, more or less, in this fight. But I think what he did was he took the fight anyway, took it for the fans. And Mark Trezane had him, I wouldn't say rocked, but at the end of the first round, they were kind of playing it up. He took three clean punches to the face, Triple G did, and then coming out in the second round, he unleashed a flurry of punches. It was a great counter, and he was able to get the win by TKO. So Triple G with the win. Like I said on Friday, not sure if he has to fight Sergey Derevyanchenko out of the gate. That's what the IBF said. He was going to have to defend that IBF belt. But in all likelihood, we'll see him fight Canelo on, I think Max Kellerman had said, Mexican Independence Day, so in the fall. Also on that card, and it was pretty interesting, I saw it a little bit online. The fight before that was the co-main. You had the first female HBO boxing fight that was televised. And you had your champ, Cecilia Bracos, taking on Kaylee Reyes. Bracos won the fight by decision. And she said she wants to keep fighting the best of the best. They name-dropped a few different people. But it was interesting to note that Chris Cyborg from the UFC was in attendance. She had her belt around her shoulder. And she had a t-shirt that was almost like a poster shirt that said Bracos Cyborg Summer of 2018. So Cyborg, from what I've read, she has two fights left on her UFC contract for MMA. So maybe next year we see her fight the champ if she doesn't defend her belt before then. And, I mean, could Cyborg sign up with Zuffa Boxing? There's a lot of questions I have. Would she sign with Zuffa Boxing? Would she promote herself? Is the money there? And then what about, like, title lineage? Because I would assume that there would be other players in that women's division in boxing that would have to fight Bracos before, you know, Cyborg would fight her. I understand, you know, I mean, Conor McGregor fought Floyd Mayweather and there was no lineage or anything there. So would it be for a title? I'm not sure. But definitely something to note and to keep in mind the next time you see Cyborg fighting. Also, last Saturday, had Tony Bellew taking on David Haye. It was a rematch from last year's fight. Bellew was able to get the 11th round TKO last year. And then on this Saturday, he was able to get the 5th round TKO win. And he called out Andre Ward, which is pretty interesting and definitely a fun fight for sure. So we'll transition now, covered all the fights from this past weekend, to my interview with First Row Collectibles' Curtis Howson. We talked about all different sorts of things. You know, he's a wrestling guy, really knows the business, and definitely the Winnipeg and the Manitoba scene for sure. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Curtis. I mean, I was surprised that Triple G really, like, took the fight, honestly. He didn't have to.
How did he do? You know what? I was busy watching the Jets game.
he came out in the first round to get caught. I think it was about three punches there near the end of the first. He looked like, I don't know if he was rocked, but they were playing it up like he was. And then coming out to the second round, he threw a, probably 6-7 punch combo and knocked the guy right out. Like, laid him out flat. Yeah, and I mean, like, the payday he could have had against Canelo, like, the tens of millions of dollars, and he was guaranteed $1 million if he fought this guy, so.
Wow.
And I mean, you lose, he would have lost two belts, and it would have totally screwed up, like, anything he had going on, so.
Took the gamble and won.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not sure if that reward was worth the risk, though, but whatever.
Exactly, so yeah. I think what's going to happen is he'll probably end up fighting Canelo in the fall, but we'll see.
That's a big money fight.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. Like, he's going to have to, if he moves his camp to the States or if he keeps it in Mexico, I mean, make sure you're only eating chicken. Don't have any of that beef.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's rough.
Who is he training with? Is that Nacho? Is he still the big trainer?
Yeah. There? Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool,
yeah.
Cool. I was a big fight fan, you know, for like the longest time. I still follow a little bit, but I got out probably around, let's say, about 2011.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, you know, I'll catch highlights, I'll read the results, kind of thing. But
yeah.
It is what it is. But who knows, man? I'm now, you know, being on podcasts and stuff and listening to you, might change that.
Yeah, like, I think the one thing that I'm trying to do is it's not just focus on UFC and Bellator. That's what most people do, is they only focus on those two. There's so many more MMA companies out there, organizations, whether it's in Europe or Asia. You know, this week I saw Combat America's, their CEO was calling out a lot of journalists on Twitter, saying that, you know, they're calling Combat America's a regional promotion. And he seemed to think that their ratings are higher than Bellator in the States, which I don't know if they are. But he published a few emails that he had with some different journalists. He called out Ariel Helwani on Twitter, and it was pretty surprising. I honestly sent him an email just to see if I could get an interview, and obviously expecting nothing, and I got nothing. But I've seen he has reached out to a few different people and thanked a few people for backing him. But it's pretty interesting to see what might happen.
Is this by chance? Is this the promotion that Alberto Del Rio is part of?
I think it might be. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember, like, I'm a big wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And I read a bunch of stuff about Alberto Del Rio starting his own promotion.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's him just using his real name.
Because I saw, well, this guy, the main guy, is Frank. What's his name? Oh, Campbell McLaren, and he was one of the higher ups executives in the UFC. And he left them, and he kind of started this. But Del Rio could have been involved with it. Like, they're pretty much only catering to, and from what I've seen, this is what they're doing. They're catering to the Hispanic population, so that's what they're trying to do. That's their focus, and that's their niche. And they're doing it in Mexico and some of the southern U.S. states. And they're expecting to get the same mainstream coverage in the States and North America.
Wow, eh? So I know. Like, wrestling's been doing that for years, where they're trying to get that Hispanic crowd.
Yeah,
because, like, that's the fastest growing crowd in North America, right?
Yeah,
so I know that's why, you know, they're pushing a lot of the luchador stuff. Like, there's always you know, there's always that guy that's the focal point, like Kalisto in the WWE, or I know Impact Wrestling, which is, like, Canadian owned now.
Yeah,
they're doing a big thing with like Lucha Underground. And they're trying to capitalize on that too, on the biggest Hispanic crowd.
Well, what's scoop in wrestling? Like, I think it's a pretty good topic to talk about. Like, you've got Bobby Lashley coming back to the WWE. You've got Shayna Baszler. Isn't she a champ in NXT now?
NXT, that's right, yeah.
Like, what's the scoop with all these MMA fighters coming over and finding success almost right away? What are they doing there?
I don't know. You know what? I was looking at Instagram this morning. And Jack Swagger, I guess, is training for Bellator.
So yeah,
I know a lot of these guys are, like, professional wrestlers, right? A lot of them started out with, like, an amateur background.
Yeah.
So, like, to make that jump to MMA, I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing, like, it's just, like, it's second nature to them, right? Like, I really don't have the answer to that. I know that when they come over from MMA to WWE. Like, they already have the name behind them, right? They have that marketing machine, whether it was Bellator or UFC or whatever. So for them to make that jump, they're bringing fans with them. And I think, like, guys like Vince McMahon and, like, Impact Wrestling's Don Callis and Scott D'Amore, I mean, they're probably all over that too. Because that, you know, that's less marketing that they need to do and to push someone that's new. So I think that's a big thing. That's a really big part of it.
Like, I was pretty surprised, and I'm glad you mentioned it, with Jack Swagger. I think they announced it in, it was either late fall, early winter, and then I see there was a little bit of promo for him in, I think it was like January, February. And now we're to the point where I think he's still wrestling on the independent circuit, and I haven't heard anything about him in Bellator at all. He's on the website, there's no picture for him, and they haven't mentioned a fight for him at all.
I think business wise, it makes sense, right? Like, you know, if they could still do their training during the week, and then take the few independent shots on the weekend, where they're making, you know, maybe they're getting paid $1,500 to go and do a 5-minute match, you know, that's going to help supplement their training and stuff. So it makes total sense to do that. And I know Lashley was doing that with Strikeforce and TNA.
Yeah, and, like, he was years. And, I mean, the good thing for him, like, when he fought in Bellator, too, he wouldn't fight where there was any type of drug testing at all. Like,
exactly.
He got away with that. I mean, a guy who's in his 40s and still looks like that, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, for sure. He's supplementing. Let's leave it at that, I guess.
Yeah.
I know. Like WWE, like they have a wellness policy and they do test for stuff. But one of the things that I've heard is that you can't really test for testosterone.
Okay.
I mean, everybody's testosterone levels are different, right? So
yeah.
So I think supplementing to that high level testosterone maybe is the way that they sort of cheat that test.
Well, with the WWE or any other wrestling promotion, with their wellness testing, is it more like a UFC or where they have USADA? If you take a recreational drug, you're out for a bit, you get a suspension? Or is it more like in the NHL where they keep it behind closed doors and it's a slap on the wrist, hey, don't do that anymore?
I think it's a lot like that, and I know like right before WrestleMania season, like they're really relaxed on that. And from what I hear, it's totally random. So I know guys like Roman Reigns have been suspended. They publicized that, but like for the most part, I think they're probably going to grab guys from like 205 Live and do random tests with them.
Yeah,
and then it's not so much like the Brock Lesnar's or Roman Reigns or Randy Orton that are going to be tested like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, one fighter that really jumped out to me, it was back when I followed wrestling. I followed it till probably, I want to say, from 2008 to 2011, 2012. That was really when I was into it. And then after that, they had a bit of a downturn from what I experienced. And I kind of get out of it a bit. But I've seen a huge resurgence here lately, it seems. I mean, a lot of the guys that I follow on Twitter, a lot of the MMA personalities, they're kind of jumping ship because you've got Ronda Rousey going over to WWE, you've got Brock Lesnar. Is he coming back to the UFC? But one of the major wrestlers that I saw in my time was Jeff Hardy running into the drug problems, and he was a superstar. And then all of a sudden, they didn't want to have anything to do with him.
Yeah, he went off and did his own thing with TNA or Impact Wrestling for a little while.
Yeah,
and there was a big debacle there about 8 years ago. He was featured in a main event match with Sting.
Yeah,
and basically went to the ring. He was inebriated, and they had to end that match within like the first 2 minutes.
Jeez.
So yeah, after that, everything's been pretty well with him, and I guess he just got his life together and he came up with a new character. Him and his brother Matt Hardy are now the Broken Hardys or the Woken Hardys now in the WWE, and had a resurgence with their career, and kept clean and. There they are back again, man, and they're main eventers again.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good story for sure, to see them both back. And I see Matt all over the internet all the time. He looks a little bit puffier than he was before, but I mean, he's still involved. I remember he came to a show. There was a live show in Fredericton. It was probably, 10 years ago. And a huge lineup in front of the arena. This car came through and just about hit my dad. And we looked over, and guy was giving my dad the finger and vice versa, and they were just about to get into it, and it was Matt Hardy, so...
Oh, no.
kind of neat there, yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, we don't...
Well, I'm glad your dad's okay, though.
Yeah, for sure, no. Yeah. I think that was the last live event they had here in Fredericton. They've had some in St. John, and of course they'll have them in Halifax, but not a whole lot here.
Are you familiar with former UFC fighter Matt Riddle?
Yeah, heard the name. Yeah,
So Matt Riddle, he ended his relationship with UFC based on the fact that he wanted to continue smoking marijuana, and was, I guess, busted a few times with UFC. And from what I know, he has an undefeated MMA record, and right now he's working the independents in wrestling, and he's traveling all over the world. And he's probably one of the hottest acts in wrestling. One of the guys that's not signed to WWE. But I think that's a name. If you're looking at wrestling and you're looking at someone that's going to be a main eventer in the next few years, like keep your eye on his name, because I'm pretty sure you're going to hear a lot about him. And that's another guy that's made a really good transition from MMA to professional wrestling.
Was he the guy that ended up moving to India?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard that. He may be. I know that. I just know about the marijuana part. Like, just wasn't big on like the the testing of UFC, and I think he had some injuries. I think that he was like, he was prescribed some opiates,
yep,
and just decided to do his own, healing, and marijuana was that choice, and yeah, just didn't want to conform to the test policies, and became a full-time professional wrestler.
Yeah, I mean, you see it happen. And the guy I'm thinking of fought, he was on The Ultimate Fighter, and I'm pretty sure he won The Ultimate Fighter, got into the UFC, and he had a few high-profile fights, and then, yeah, didn't really want to conform to the drug testing, moved to India, did yoga for quite a few years, and now he's back in North America. So it could be the same guy, but...
It could be the same guy, yeah.
But, I mean, as far as wrestling goes, there's quite a few... You wouldn't really think of it from New Brunswick that are big wrestling names. You got Rene Dupre and his dad. Yeah. So, yeah.
His dad ran Grand Prix Wrestling
for
decades.
Yeah.
And that was one of the big territories in like the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yeah.
And I know I recently watched the Andre the Giant documentary, and they talk about Andre competing in that territory. So, yeah, you guys have a lot of history of professional wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame because, like I said, you don't see a whole lot around here now. I'd say the only promotions that we have in New Brunswick, I mean, well, wrestling, not so much. There's two major MMA organizations, and there's a kickboxing organization. And then as far as, like, Nova Scotia, there was a UFC fight night last year that I went to in February. And then they banned MMA for about 6 months. And then they re-implement it. You can have a sanctioned event now again in Nova Scotia, but they haven't had one in, I mean, an independent local one in probably 3 or 4 years. So
crazy.
Yeah,
same thing here in Winnipeg. Like we had Canadian Fighting Championship.
Yep.
Which featured guys like Showtime Anthony Pettis. I remember Jeremy Horn was here. Stephen Bonner, Eric Perez, Roland DeLorme. And we had that happening for like, I don't know, it must have ran for a good 10 years. And then all of a sudden, now I haven't seen a MMA card advertised in Winnipeg for the longest time. Independent one anyway.
Yeah.
Like we had Fight Night a few months ago at the Bell MTS Center.
Yeah.
But independent wise, yeah, I haven't seen much of it.
Did you get a chance to go to that Fight Night?
No, I didn't. No. You know what? The thing is, I have a 12-year-old son.
Yes, sir.
And those are 18-plus shows.
Oh, yeah, so,
Yeah, for me to go and then leave him at home, yeah, I didn't want to create any problems, so yeah. We just watched it on TV.
Yeah, that was a good card, too. I mean, yeah. I was surprised, like, you talk about, like, Triple G taking the fight there last night. Like, I was really surprised that he took that. He didn't have to. It was a risk he didn't need to take. But Ricardo Lamas taking on Josh Emmett, like... Your number two or number three rank taking on a number 11 on short notice, and then he ended up losing, and it cost him like everything.
Yeah, but that's a huge gamble, man. Like that, I don't know. Like we talked about earlier, I don't know if the reward was worth that risk, but it worked out in Triple G's favor.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a big money fight up ahead, I guess.
So, how hard is it to get a ticket to go see a Jets game?
Oh, good luck. So as we're recording this, tomorrow is Monday, and it's game six, and we have a chance to beat the Nashville Predators and move on to the conference finals. At last I checked that there was some tickets available on like the second market, I guess, Seat Giant it's called.
Yeah.
And sitting in the upper deck, it was like, I think tickets were like $900.
Oh.
So not happening. happening. I love the Jets. I love that they're back. I love that they have a great team. But again, I think I'll probably watch at home. If anything, I might join the crowd outside. And I think they're expecting about 40,000 fans. Jeez. Outside the Bell MTS Center.
Well, they packed. Did they pack it last night for the game in Nashville?
Right,
it looked,
yeah,
I saw a video of at MTS, and it looked like it was totally full of fans watching the game.
Oh, it's Jets fever here, man. Anywhere you go, Winnipeg Jets flags. Everybody's wearing jerseys. Everybody's wearing whites. Everybody, you know, you pass by a random person, and you're wearing a Jets hat. They're gonna say, "Go Jets, go!" It's been really crazy, man. Like, especially since 2011, since the Jets been back. But now with the team doing as well as they are, like, it's just been, yeah, it's been something else.
I'd say a change in net really helped them out too there with Hellebuyck. Like, he's I mean, isn't he up for Vezina candidate this year?
Vezina cat. Yeah, he's I think him Pekka and Vasilevsky with Tampa. So yeah, we're really pulling for Hellebuyck. He's definitely he's been like a key to our success. Like before that, we had Andre Pavlik, who I believe played on the East Coast in Cape Breton. I don't know if that's near you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played in the queue. He had some good seasons with the Jets, but as of last year, it was time to move on. And I'm glad that we did. Like, man, Hellebuck's a heck of a goalie.
Man, it's a shame. I was a big Pavlik fan.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean,
nice guy, too. Super nice guy. I'm glad that he's still in the league. He's backing up Lundqvist and with the Rangers, but it just didn't work out here.
No, and I mean, yeah, you guys are definitely, I mean, Cinderella story in Winnipeg and in Vegas, too. That'd be a pretty interesting matchup, you know, going to the semis.
It will be. It will be. And there's a lot of connections there, too. Like, a lot of the Vegas Knights roster, I think there's, like, four guys that are from Manitoba.
Yeah.
And then also, Kelly McCrimmon, who is the former general manager for the Brandon Wheat Kings. He's with the Knights. They have our former color commentator Shane Knighty working for the Knights. I know that there was a couple guys that worked with like the Winnipeg Free Press that went down and got jobs with the Knights too. So yeah, there's a lot of storylines there.
Nice, nice. And you got a Maritime coach too, and Jared Glant there too. So
yeah. Not you know bad. What? I've seen some interviews with that guy. He just seems like. Just a guy that you'd want to play for. Like, he has, you know what I mean? There's something about him.
He got slighted in Florida for sure. I mean, yeah. That made absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, and then just goes to show, right? Like, it just doesn't work out in places, and move on, and look at you find success.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully my Canadians and Carey Price will have the success next year, but you never know.
You know what? He was due for one bad season, right? I mean, you know, you can't be the best forever, but he's young enough where I'm sure he's gonna bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because when he came into the league, they figured he had an issue with partying. They didn't want him to play. They wanted Huey. And I mean, I was rah-rah Carey Price, and then finally they give him the shot, and he's one of the best goaltenders in the league. Has an off season this year, and they want him out again. They want Bergevin to trade him, and you're not going to get full value right now, but it just doesn't make sense. I mean, the guy's the best in the league.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you know, one bad season, but then again, you know, that's the Montreal media. I mean, as a player, there's probably two places that I wouldn't want to play. You know, I mean, I'd love to play in NHL, but if I had my choice, I probably wouldn't want to play in Montreal or Toronto, just based on the fact that anything that you do, you're under the microscope, and like it just goes to show, like you got the best goalie on the planet in Carey Price, and you're ready to you know move on from him because he has one bad season. But hey, they're the experts.
Exactly. So, do you guys have any big events coming up in Winnipeg? Any wrestling? Anything of that nature.
First Row Collectibles is involved with a local wrestling promotion called Canadian Wrestling's Elite, and they're a touring company. As of Thursday, they're on a 25-day tour of Canada with former WWE superstar Ron Farouk Simmons.
Damn.
So I know that they're venturing out west. They'll be going as far as Golden, BC. And then coming back through Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and then a few dates in Ontario. So we're sponsoring that. And really looking forward to getting some new people on the website and maybe getting our name out there and hopefully creating some partnerships and stuff and getting our name out there and hopefully people come out and support CWE and First Row Collectibles.
Well, can you tell me the story? Like, when did First Row Collectibles start? How did you get your start?
So, I've been a collector of hockey memorabilia since I was probably 8 years old. I used to go to the old Winnipeg Arena, and I would meet different hockey players and wrestlers as they would come to the arena with WWF events. I would collect cards, I would collect autographs, I would collect sticks that some of the players would give me. And over the years, I just amassed this huge, huge collection. And then I think about 15 years ago, I decided to sort of share my collection with people and get out there and trade stuff and get on the internet, maybe sell a few things. And then from that point on, just sort of created First World Collectibles. And things have been pretty good, you know, just meeting different collectors with the same interests and like-minded people and helping them with their collection. And at the same time, they're helping me with mine. So it's been pretty good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, it's definitely pretty cool. You know, there's people all over the world collecting different stuff. You see a lot of hockey memorabilia. Like, I mean, baseball's really been on an upswing. You got a lot of young guys, exciting guys like Aaron Judge. And then especially, like, from what I've seen, like I said, on Twitter, all over online, you see WWE just, it seems like it's growing and growing. That NXT brand, to me, seems like it's finally gotten to that next level. So, I mean, you're going to have more and more people interested.
For sure. And like, definitely, like, things started here in Winnipeg. And, like, we're a big fight town. Like, you know, we go back with the AWA coming here every month. And WWF being here, twice a year. And at one time, they were coming here every 2 months. So, like, yeah, man, we have a huge sports following here with wrestling and hockey. And now with the internet, with Twitter, like you said, like, you know, it's nice to get some of those things out there and for people to find things that they wouldn't necessarily find in their city, and for things that I wouldn't necessarily find here. It works out for everybody.
Yes, sir. Well, Curtis, I think that just about does it. I don't have much more for you. You got any plugs for First Row?
No, you know what? If you're interested in hockey cards, autographs, WWE collectibles, UFC collectibles, come check us out. We're at www.firstrow.ca. You can also follow me on Twitter at First Row Collect, Instagram, firstrow.ca, and on Facebook at facebook.com/firstrow.ca.
All right. Very best, Curtis. We'll have to have you on again, and go Jets.
Thanks again, Craig.
All right. See you later. So that was my conversation with Curtis. We spoke yesterday over Skype. Had a few issues on my end just trying to record it, but you know, the quality will be there the next time we go for an interview, and I really appreciate it. Just going back on a few things that we said, I had a look into it. Alberto Del Rio did have a part in Combat Americas. He was actually their president until 2017, and he stepped down. It was more of a figurehead position where he didn't really have much power. It was more for name recognition, which is actually a really good move on their part. And I've seen that they've also partnered with Daddy Yankee in the past. So pretty interesting and a good way to try and grab some attention. He had mentioned Matt Riddle, who had kind of gotten out of fighting. Had a look at his record, 8-3 total with some no contests. The guy that I was thinking of actually was Jonathan Brookins. So he beat Michael Johnson on the Ultimate Fighter GSP Josh Koscheck season. So he won the Ultimate Fighter. He fought Eric Koch in the UFC. He fought Dustin Poirier, Charles Oliveira, and then in 2012 he went to India and pursued yoga, which I thought was pretty interesting. Saw a pretty good video of him actually on YouTube, and I'm not a big Vice guy, but it was under their Fightland banner that pretty much explained his journey. And it's a really neat story. He's been back to fighting. He's fought with LFA since. And if you're kind of wondering where he was, maybe what he had coming up, take a look at that video. It's a good story for sure if you haven't heard of Jonathan Brookins. So this week's up-and-comer, it's actually going to be totally different from what I've done in the past. It's more of a tag team surprise. There's one fight this weekend that I can't get enough of, and I'm definitely going to have a look at it. So it's on this weekend's M1 Challenge 91 on the prelims on Saturday. And you got my up-and-comer, I had him, Rafał Kianchuk, fighting at a Chelm, Poland. He's taking on the Brit Matt Klempner. So originally I had it in my mind's eye that Kianchuk, he was going to be my featured up-and-comer, so I started looking into his record. Light heavyweight, 2-0 as a pro, 1-1 as an amateur. In his last three fights, he's been in the cage for a total of 59 seconds. Total. with winning all three by KO. And to break that down even further, it's about 28 seconds in his two professional wins that he's been in the cage. His other fight lasted, it was about 31 seconds. So not a lot of cage time. And he's a hard-hitting prospect. He's in a normally thin light heavyweight division. But if you have a look at M1, I had mentioned at the beginning of the show, M1 actually has a pretty strong light heavyweight division. So taking on Matt Klempner, who's 2-0 as a pro and 2-0 as an amateur, all four of those wins come by first-round submission. So you have a really hard hitter and a really great submission artist in Klempner. So pitting two styles against each other. And that's what I always want. You know, I harped last week that I'd like to see Bellator do something like this. And on the M1 prelims, you'll be able to see a fight that it's definitely more my style. You know, and even on this card, your main event is a light heavyweight fight between Mikhail Zayats and Sayo Mankaris. So you've got another light heavyweight fight. If you have a look on their website, their listed light heavyweight champ is Rashid Yusupov. So I looked into his record, 9-0. And he's actually fighting at PFL's first event, June 21st, taking on Rakeem Cleveland. So, you know, on that first event, you're also going to have Will Brooks. So there's going to be a lot of eyes on the event that might not otherwise be on there. Will Brooks, former Bellator champ, kind of struggled a little bit in the UFC. Wasn't really able to get a footing, but he will be in this PFL challenge. So neat that we're going to see Rashid Yusupov on there. And my featured up-and-comer, Rafał Kianchuk, but also Matt Klempner. I mean, the guy who wins this fight, you're going to be undefeated as a pro in their young careers. And you got a heavy-hitting style taking on a great submission artist, so it should be a really good fight. And that's on Saturday. So this episode is sponsored by Sisu Mouth Guards. Like I said last week, I reached out to them. I mean, I've been wearing this mouth guard for quite a few years now. Told a little story. I was playing hockey, and one game I left my mouth guard in the dressing room, forgot to put it on, didn't think much of it. And that one game that I didn't wear my mouth guard, I lost my front tooth, and it wasn't really pleasant. I had to get a root canal, had to get the tooth capped. I lost time at work. I had to take time on my own schedule to get it fixed. You know, quite a few appointments and whatnot. And it probably cost me about $1,000. So, I mean, you get the Sisu mouth guard. You can talk with it in. You can drink with it in. You won't be gagging like a typical, you know, your traditional boil and bite mouth guard. This is a lot thinner. It is a boil and bite, but I mean, when you mold it, it's so much better than the older style. They also offer a $35,000 dental warranty that's good for 1 year, and they'll cover any out-of-pocket dental expenses if you get hurt while wearing the mouth guard. So like I said at the start of the show, go over to SISU Guard and enter the promo code FNP10 for 10% off your order. I see that they also have a newer mouth guard out there that just recently came out for more non-contact sports. And again, it's at a great price point. I believe it was $15.99 US, so FNP10, 10% off your order. And I also have a link on my website as well, so you can get a look at those mouth guards. So sisuguard.com. So now I'm going to focus on the fights coming up this weekend. As I mentioned, you've got the M1 Challenge 91 from Shenzhen, China on Saturday night. It's going to start in my region at 6:30. That's 6:30 Atlantic, so 5:30 Eastern. Like I said, light heavyweight main event, and we'll dive into that card a little bit more on Friday. But M1 Challenge 91. There's also ONE Championship. Now, I saw on Twitter that if you download their new app, you can watch all the fights for free. And in North America, they're broadcast on pay-per-view. So pretty good deal there. And they seem to put on pretty good shows. It's a really good marketing plan. You know, UFC has an app. It's quite accessible. The search function isn't the best, but it's not bad. And you can see their whole fight library on the app. With Bellator, they came out with an app here recently. I've had a hard time trying to find the undercard fights, so what I'll do is they post them on their website, so I'll hook up my tablet to the computer and just direct connect and watch the fights that way. And then as soon as the main card comes on, I flip it over to Paramount Network. But their app's kind of clunky so far. I mean, it's still in the development phase, and it's almost more of an extension of their website. If you click the links For instance, I know if you go onto their shop function and then you click on a link, it'll take you just directly to the website, and rather than being an in-app experience. So one championship, new app, and you can watch the fights for free. It's their Grit and Glory event, and it starts at 7 a.m. Eastern, so 8 a.m. Atlantic, from Jakarta, Indonesia. Your main event, 7-1 Alex Silva taking on 12-1 Yoshitaka Naito, and it's for their strawweight belt, so the men's 115 belt. They fought for this belt back in December, and Silva actually won by unanimous decision, so rematch of sorts, and should be a really exciting event. And like I said, I'll break it down more. I noticed when I went down through the event listing, it's a lot of there are a lot of lighter fighters on the card, you know, from this strawweight division, bantamweight in that range, flyweights as well. So it should be a quick card, and it'll feature a lot of good striking for sure. One championship, they're really known for their striking type fighters. Bama 35 from Dublin on Saturday. That starts at 4:30 Eastern, the main card, which would be 5:30 Atlantic. It's a welterweight heavy card, actually. So we went from the lighter fellers to 170 pounds. Main event, you got 14-2 Alex Lahore, who just went 2-0 in Bellator last year. He's taking on 17-8 Ion Pascu, who you probably heard that name if you follow Bellator. He just fought Ed Ruth at a catchweight fight, and lost that fight, but just recently fought both guys from Bellator, Lahore and Pascu, and that should be a good event as well. Like I said, rolling on with the Saturday cards. On Saturday, we have Bellator 199 from San Jose. Main card starts at 10 o'clock Atlantic, so 9 o'clock Eastern. Definitely want to catch some of those undercard fights. So your main card and your main event, you have King Mo taking on Ryan Bader. It's in the heavyweight Grand Prix. The winner is going to take on Matt Mitrione. I think it's a tough fight to call, and like I always do, I mean, my pick's on Friday, but Ryan Bader is such a great wrestler, but King Mo's not a bad wrestler either. And King Mo also has experience, whether it's good or not. He has experience at heavyweight, and Ryan Bader doesn't. And the problem with this fight is you have two of your best light heavyweights competing in a heavyweight tournament, which really limits the amount of fights you can have at light heavyweight. I mean, I've sung the praises of Vadim Nemkov. You know, there's a lot of different fighters in that light heavyweight division that all, you know, they could have a chance at fighting Bader for the title, but this just holds up that division when you have your two better fighters fighting for a potential heavyweight belt in the future. You see where I'm going with this? It doesn't look good for their light heavyweight division. I mean, it does beef up the numbers for the heavyweight tournament. So, like I said, that's your main event. Your co-main is John Fitch. You know, John Fitch taking on Semtex Paul Daly. Of course, he's got the nickname for a reason, Explosive Hands. And John Fitch, everybody rags on him for being a boring fighter, but he definitely, he's one of the best grapplers and wrestlers out there. So he's doing something right. And he was a big name in the UFC. He's a little bit older now, so we'll see what happens in that fight. But it should be an interesting matchup, striker versus grappler wrestler. Fight before that, you have Czech Congo taking on prospect Javi Ayala. Ayala fought Roy Nelson in Roy Nelson's debut in Bellator. I thought he made out pretty well, Ayala. And it didn't really showcase Roy Nelson's talents very much. Neither did the Mitrione fight, but Roy Nelson was able to get on top for a portion of the fight. So Czech Congo, he still got it. From what I was told and the understanding that I have, Czech Congo was supposed to be the alternate for the heavyweight tournament. But now they're going to have Mirko Krokop taking on Roy Nelson, which doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, Roy Nelson already lost in the tournament. So let's say he beats Krokop and then Fedor drops out. So you got Roy Nelson fighting Chael Sonnen, but he was already in the tournament on the other side of the bracket. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but what do I know? You also have super prospect Aaron Pico taking on 18-8 Lee Morrison. I've seen a little bit of back and forth on that fight. You know, Pico lost his debut in Bellator, and he's won his last two. So really interesting fight there. And then another interesting fight, you have lightweight fight between 7-0 Carrington Banks taking on 9-2 Adam Piccolotti. And Piccolotti's another one of those guys in Bellator that's exciting to watch, and probably the most interesting division there is in all of MMA, that lightweight division. Biggest MMA card this weekend, you have UFC 224 from Jeunesse Arena in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Starts at 10 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Atlantic. That's when that main card starts on pay-per-view. Your main event's Amanda Nunes taking on Raquel Pennington, who hasn't fought in a couple of years. And trust me, I understand the UFC rankings, I mean, as much as I'd like to. But, you know, no activity in the last few years, but you're still ranked in the top five and you're given a title shot. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's just like, you know, Cain Velasquez out due to injury, but he's still in the rankings for the longest time. So it doesn't make much sense to me, but what do I know? Your co-main, you've got Kelvin Gastelum taking on Jacare Souza. That should be a really exciting fight. You know, they're kind of talking top contender in the middleweight division, whoever wins this fight. You got the fight before that, Mackenzie Dern taking on ABC Amanda Bobby Cooper. Dern 6-0. In her debut, she looked all right, couldn't get any takedowns, and she's kind of, I sung her praises there before the Dylan Danis fight. She's kind of similar to Dylan Danis, great Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner, but definitely has to work on the takedown offense. And then it was reported there last week that her coach had pretty much kicked her out of the gym because, you know, she wasn't spending enough time at that specific camp. So kind of makes you wonder what might happen. I mean, Amanda Bobby Cooper's record in the UFC isn't great, but at the same time, she could really capitalize, use her striking, get a win here. I see that Dern's the heavy betting favorite. So that might be a fight that you want to have a look at, and we'll break that down more on Friday, but just to give you a bit of an idea of what's coming up on UFC 224. You also have John Lineker taking on Brian Kelleher. Go through Brian Kelleher's record. He's fought top talent here and there, and John Lineker, definitely the hardest hitter in the division, so that should be a really good fight. But Kelleher is great on his feet, and he's got really good movement. You also have Lyoto Machida taking on Vitor Belfort. I don't know, you know, Belfort was supposed to retire. He was supposed to fight Uriah Hall, and that was going to be his retire fight at UFC in St. Louis. That didn't happen. So now he's taking on Lyoto Machida a number of months later. Machida hasn't looked great in his last couple of fights since coming back off suspension. Both older guys. I mean, Machida was probably one of the best strikers out there at one time. And Belfort was too. Belfort has been around for a very long time, so I'm not really sure what to expect, but we shall see. And another fight that I really like, just I'm a fan of one of these fighters. You got Junior Baby Albini taking on Alexei Olenek. And if you actually look back through Alexei Olenek's record, you know, he weighs in kind of in the middle of that heavyweight division. But at one point, he fought at 185 in Bodog fights in Canada against Chael Sonnen. So have a look at that fight. It's kind of tough to find out there on the old internet, but Alexei Olenek fought Chael Sonnen. So that should be an interesting fight. You know, in his last fight, he fought Curtis Blaydes and took a bit of a head kick to the ear. I think from his angle, he wanted to play it off as if he was injured and get the disqualification or somehow get the win. But Blaydes was able to get the doctor stoppage TKO. So kind of neat there. Also this weekend in boxing on HBO, you've got 27-1 Saddam Ali taking on 21-year-old Jaime Munguia. So Ali won the WBO light middleweight title in December. Unanimous decision against Miguel Cotto. That was a big upset to win that title. And it's the first big-name test for Munguia, who's taken the fight on short notice. Liam Smith pulled out of this fight due to an apparent skin condition, I read. That was reported by Dan Raphael. So kind of neat, you know, really young guy, 28-0. And I believe he's got 26 knockouts in those 28 fights. So a really big test and something to look forward to. I mean, this Saturday night is packed. And I'll give you a better idea on Friday of what to look for and which fights to switch from. But there's a lot going on. And then probably the biggest fight this weekend, certainly in boxing. I mean, that last fight that I talked about was a big deal. But you got Jorge Linares taking on Vasily Lomachenko for the WBA and the Ring lightweight titles. For me, it's really interesting. I'm a big Lomachenko fan. You know, his movement is so crisp and he hits so hard. But it'd be interesting to see him in the UFC. I mean, there's such a big draw between crossover fights between boxing and MMA. I mean, I know you've got Ronda Rousey, like Curtis and I talked about. You got Rousey and Shayna Baszler and Brock Lesnar that go between wrestling and MMA. But to me, the most interesting fights are some of those freak fights, some of those Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, whether it's Cyborg crossing over to boxing once her UFC careers or once her UFC contract is over. So, you know, Vasily Lomachenko, I saw Dillashaw commented as saying that Lomachenko best in the world. So you never know. We could end up seeing him in the UFC maybe one day. I mean, he's still a young guy. That just about does it for episode 8 of the Fight Night Picks podcast. We'll see you again on Friday. I'll help you out with some picks, you know, 11 for 14 this past weekend, so it wasn't too bad there. And I'll give you a more of a hand, figure out which fights to watch and when. So we'll see you again on Friday.